Audio diaries on the 22nd of June 2024 at the Armour and Embarkation event, Dorchester. I'm now with the military police, so I better behave myself. And it's not often that you get a chance to talk about the military police, and I'm with a very tall military police sergeant who's about 7 foot tall, I should think.
Yeah, 6 foot four. Six foot four and 17 stone, so a big chap. So they all have to be over 6 foot to be in the military police during the Second World War.
Yeah.
Again, you imagine if you're trying to go and break up a rowdy load of soldiers in a bar somewhere, you need to be big and strong. And they always tended to be the older conscripts as well, someone with a bit more maturity. So if you was in your late 30s, maybe 40s, you'd be sent towards the military police.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And what about the military police's role when, you know, going abroad on the D-Day landings and the Battle of Normandy and all that? What was their role in that?
Well, the role was quite varied. Prisoner of war was one of the big things. They collected the prisoner of war from the fighting soldiers. Checkpoints, crossroads, bridges. They controlled all the convoys in and out of the beaches themselves. So yeah, very, very, very important role, because somebody had to send the troops in the right direction. So the military police were well up with everything. So put signs up telling the tanks to go one way, vehicles to go another way, and just again looking after the troops, making sure they weren't fraternizing with the French ladies, drinking too much Calvados and cider, usual things. But the biggest role really is traffic control during the Normandy landing. So they landed on the beaches very early. They parachuted in as well with the paratroopers. So they was there from day one, the first few hours.
A vital role.
A vital role indeed, yeah. So there's about 22,000 military policemen throughout the British Army at the end of the Second World War. That's why it became a Royal Military Police. At the time of the Second World War, it was called a Corps of Military Police. The sterling work which the military police did during the war, the King gave royal approval to them, and they've become the Royal Military Police today. So the RMPs are today still wearing the red cap, still wearing the white webbing. That's standardisation to make them stand out from the crowd. So when you've got a load of green soldiers around and you see somebody with a red hat, you know, look out, trouble's coming.
I don't think I'd like to tangle with you.
Okay, so yeah, no, like I said, they was all over 6 foot tall, so big men, but much older than the fighting troops. A bit maturity.
And your cap badge, I'm always interested in medals and cap badge. Yeah. That is GR, isn't it?
Yeah, so we represent the Second World War.
George VI.
Second World War. So George's reign. So George's reign, and you see it's got military police written underneath it. Same coat of arms now, but of course it's got CRE now.
Or for King Charles, yeah.
Or it was ER, you know, so, yeah.
And when was the military police actually founded? Can we go back to the starting date?
Yeah, it goes back to ancient times, where you hear the Lord Provost was part of, you know, part of the royal setup in ancient times, you know. So they always had a provost. Of course, in that provost then was again when the armies marched in olden days, they had to have somebody in charge of the drunkenness and the rowdiness and all that. So it started many moons ago, but it really started during the First World War, when the army grew and grew and grew. So again, they was horse mounted, so they's mounted policemen, and then of course during this, as mechanisation kicked into the British Army, they started to use motorcycles, and then of course when the jeep came in 1942, they commandeered the jeeps as well. Yeah, so they've been around a long time. So the word provost is a French word, so it's ancient, basically.
Provost Marshal, I think.
Provost Marshal, that's correct. Provost Marshal, you know, any sort of Henry VIII would have a Provost Marshal, and he was a very important man. He's kept discipline within the army.
The military police, looking at it in the 20th century and into the 21st century, they've been in all those theatres of war, the trenches in World War One, World War Two that you've been describing, and continue to this day, don't they?
They're in Iraq now, you know, anywhere there's a military, British military presence, there'll always be a police force there, you know, again, for looking after the well-being of the soldiers. So any theatre of war, you'll always have British military police in the front line and behind the lines.
Finally, at the heart of this very significant event, recorded at the time of the 80th anniversary of D-Day landings and the horrific Battle of Normandy that followed and more, what are your own reflections on this very historic occasion and the turning point of World War II?
Yeah, I said, you know, we was over in Normandy 2 weeks ago for the 80th. I mean, it was a pleasure to be there. And I think we have to remember what went on. I mean, a lot of these youngsters today, we've got a youngster just passing now, I don't think understands the sacrifice where our generation, my father's generation, you know, committed to the freedom we have today. So, yeah, so it's a celebration, really, of what they did. And I think we have to continue it and educate. I mean, one of the biggest things we do as a Living History Group is education. These youngsters need to understand that they're playing on their computers because the men who died on the Normandy beaches. So, yeah, I think it's very important.
What always strikes me is the humbleness of the veterans when they speak.
Yes, indeed. I actually live opposite a 99-year-old D-Day veteran. He landed with a Churchill Crocodile flamethrower tank. It was one of the most effective weapons of British. And he's no hero, he says. No, he said, it's just a job, you know. He was called up and they did a job. Yeah, it's, you know, but it's, as he said, it's all his friends what got killed, it's all the people who've fallen on those days, which is the, we have to celebrate.
Indeed, yeah, some didn't even make it off the landing craft.
That's right, lots didn't, you know, so as soon as that door opened, you know, they could see this boat coming in. As soon as the door opened, the machine gunners of the German, you know, could just blast away at, 500 rounds a minute, you know, rip them to pieces.
The atmosphere must have been tremendous when you went over recently to Normandy.
Yes, and there were literally thousands and thousands of people. The veterans, of course, very, very few now. I think actually only 25 actually went across this year. 5 years ago, we had 223 veterans. We had the pleasure of being military police. We actually escorted some veterans round. We took them from Ranville down to Pegasus Bridge for a meal and then took them back to the hotel. Yeah, very, very, very humbling, and this is small compared to what was over there. There was literally hundreds and hundreds of military Second World military vehicles. It was like, literally, they say, like a Second World War invasion. There was vehicles like this everywhere. It was an incredible sight.
And the King speaking.
And the King speaking, yes, and everybody else speaking. And that's why it's important.
Heads of state.
Heads of state. That's why it's important. Again, it's all this looking at all these youngsters, and, you know, they're coming down and seeing these vehicles, but maybe not quite understand what they actually mean. You know, when you're driving one of these 80-year-old vehicles, this was the modern vehicle 80 years ago.
State-of-the-art, wasn't it?
State-of-the-art vehicles, you know. But they look at them now and say, where's the stereo to play me pop music on? No chance. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for giving your time to chat with us, talk with us, and particularly about the military police and relating to this very important military anniversary.
Yep. Pleasure.
Thank you. Just your Christian name?
My name's Colin Taylor.
Colin Taylor. Yeah. Colin, thank you very much for joining us on our programme.
Okay, thank you.